Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hi there. This is Sally Kirkland on this rainy day in L.A. And I have with me one of my favorite people, Laren Bright. Hi, Laren. Laren?
Yep.
And Laren spent many, many years in Hanna-Barbera and writing. He's a writer, right? Tell us some of the things you wrote.
Well, let's see. I worked on Batman, the animated series, which was the first year. And I worked on a show called Captain Planet. That was my favorite show. And then I worked on a show called The Flintstone Kids. And I worked on a show called Captain Caveman. And a whole bunch of other little shows. So,
oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Did you ever have, you know, go to conventions and have audiences want your autograph or do all that?
No, writers don't generally get
oh, really?
Asked for autographs. Yeah.
Oh.
People don't know who the writers are.
It sounded very colorful.
Yeah.
Well,
no,
I know
funny.
You. Yeah.
No, I
what
just
were you
going to
say?
It was funny. I mean, it was great working at Hanna-Barbera. Was just a wonderful experience. But I didn't know. I mean, I got there fairly. I mean, I was very much an adult by the time I got there. I think it was in my 40s. And
right.
And I didn't know what to expect. You know, I didn't know if there was going to be a lot of drugs or anything like that. And it really wasn't like that at all. It was
right.
It was very collegial. People were super friendly. If you were stuck somewhere in a script, you know, you could walk down the hall and walk into somebody's office and say, hey, I'm stuck, can you give me a hand? And they would. It was really lovely.
Oh, that's great. Wow. I know you.
Yes, you do.
You and I have spent about 50 years, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. In MSIA, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness. And,
I was in Florida for the first several of those years, but I knew you anyway.
I knew that about you.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to Florida in April for the premiere there of my film Sallywood.
Really?
To Zero Beach.
Uh-huh.
Zero Beach, Florida.
Oh. That's terrific.
Yeah.
And that's the release in Florida. Is it being released elsewhere before that?
Oh, it'll be released here. It's just that the filmmaker lives in Florida, so they make a big deal over him.
Right.
So I'm excited. I haven't been there since I was married to Bark A. Bear.
Right.
Way, way back years ago.
Right.
It'll be fun to go again. So I know you all these
time
years.
Huh?
What's that?
I was saying that
That's
was a long time ago.
Bark A. Bear.
Yeah.
It was the 80s. What are we now? The 20s.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago. It was my second attempt at marriage, but it was not to be. But I guess he's happily married to another woman now.
Yeah, I guess.
I just want the audience to know that my favorite thing, even more than acting, has been my spiritual path. And I got on it back in 72, 73 with John Roger, the founder of MSIA, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness. And of all of the people I've met in the church, Laren stands out as a huge light and force to be reckoned with, because he's so practical and at the same time so spiritual. And he really, how do I say this? You really take on a lot in your ministry, and so many people look up to you and your leadership. And anything you want to say about MSIA at any time in the next hour, I would love, because not many people have had your experience and been close to John Roger like you have, and you know, traveled and dealt with so many people who are looking for truth and looking for happiness, obviously. And you've helped so many people, and you open your house on Thursdays, I believe, at night to play videos of both John Roger and John Morton, who is currently the spiritual director. And you're just an amazing minister, Laren.
Well, I mean, that's very kind, Sally. I'm glad to say a few words about that, because one of the basic principles in MSIA is to not proselytize. You know, you just kind of make the information available. I mean, it's interesting because I've written, like, I would write the promotional material for John Rogers' books, and I mean, because my background, in addition to writing animation, was also writing copywriting, you know, for advertising stuff. And John Roger used to always pull me back and say, "We're not selling; we're just presenting the information." And essentially, it was kind of like the spirit will sell it to the people that are supposed to read it. And he was very clear that it wasn't for everybody, but those that it was for would know it when they saw it. And so we were only supposed to present stuff. And that's pretty much the whole philosophy, or the whole approach that MSIA takes. It's like, look, we're doing this. Maybe it's for you. Maybe it's not for you. You know, so I'm not invested in convincing you. It's your participation with me in MSIA is not going to make my participation any more valid.
Right.
You know, so right. It's like, you know, the thing you said about, you know, I knew John Roger. Well, I did know John Roger, but I didn't have a lot of contact with him. Not face to face. I mean, we had a superb email relationship, but face to face, you know, it was more like, if you want to know who I am, you got to go inside and figure it out, and have the experience of me inside, not hang out with me out in the physical, which was always fun. I mean, it was pretty an amazing experience to be around John Roger, because of the energy that he held. Yeah, I mean, well, it was transformational energy. When you were around John Roger or someone who of that level, which there aren't a lot, but there are some, but when you were around John Roger, things would change in your life. And not because of anything he said or did, it was just being in that presence. And that was pretty phenomenal. Yeah, I mean, but, you know, earlier when you said, you know, that I'm very practical, which is a huge compliment to me, because MSIA is about practical spirituality.
Right.
And it's about, you know, not about understanding or having these high philosophical concepts. It's more about having high spiritual awareness, and then figuring out how to apply that in the world to make your life better. And, you know, I always thought that was a great approach for me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And he was all about the love. I mean, he was such an example of living love all the time, 24/7.
I mean, I heard one guy say something that I thought was really accurate. He said, you know, even when John Roger, our approach of our teachings, you know, would be in having questions and answers with John Roger, and people would get up and talk about stuff that was going on in their life. And sometimes JR would, I mean, just depending on the person, if they were particularly resistant, JR would bust them for it.
Right.
But the thing is, when you got busted by JR, you walked away knowing that you had been loved, not punished.
Right.
And it was, I mean, that was a phenomenal experience. I mean, you could see it. You know, I mean, people would change as a result of those kinds of things.
Oh, God.
Anyway.
Yes. Well, you and I had about 50 years. What grace is that to have been with this master for 50 years? You know, there may or may not be anyone on the planet like that for thousands of years, from my humble point of view. I know you told this story before, but I can't remember. How did you meet him?
Well, here's the semi-long version of the story. In 1969, I was 25 years old, and the Vietnam War was going on, and some friends of mine and I decided that, well, this wasn't our war, so we decided to kind of hit the road, and I went to... We started going to Nassau, but ended up in Jamaica. And we went to Jamaica because they had dope there.
Right.
And I got very stoned, and I also got an infection in my foot. And one day, I was living up in the hills outside of Montego Bay, and this guy shows up, and he started talking about astrology and yoga and meditation and stuff, which was all foreign to me at that time. And he read my astrology chart, and he really pretty much nailed me. And long story short, about a week later, I was on a plane with him going back to stay with him in Miami, and start exploring this stuff. And I went to a whole bunch of different spiritual groups and meditation groups and things like that, Edgar Cayce and this and that. And one day, a friend of mine said, I'm going to this group and maybe you'd enjoy it. And it was MSI and it was brand new in Miami.
Right.
And I went. And I wasn't terribly impressed, and I wasn't terribly moved, but somehow I just kept going back and back and back.
Right.
And then about, I'm going to say about 3 months later, John Roger came to town, and he was doing things called light studies, which were kind of sort of like life readings. And and I had one of those, and boy, did he tell me something. Well, he told me about a couple of lifetimes that I had that explained so many things that were going on in my life right now.
Right.
And,
Can you talk about those
lifestyles,
Larry?
Well, my very favorite story. There were two. The one he told me on my first life study was, I had been living in the Polynesian Islands. I was a woman in this particular lifetime. I don't know how long ago it was, but it was hundreds, if not thousands, of years ago. And the religion of that day had priests, and they would do sacrifices, and the sacrifices would be they would throw the sacrificial maiden into the volcano.
Wow.
And I was selected, and it was a great honor, and that was fine, except that it had dawned on me, like, maybe a great honor, but I was going to be dead, and I didn't want to do it. So I resisted this thing. So the priests came to me, and what they did was, according to J.R., John Roger, was that they inserted a knife in through my genital area and cut a blood vessel in there so that the blood bled out, and my will bled out with the blood. And then they took us up to the volcano, and they said that they were instituting a new procedure, that the priests would act on behalf of the people, and they would throw me into the volcano rather than my voluntarily jumping in. So they made up a story, a lie, about that, and they threw me in a volcano. Well, that was weird. And interestingly, when I was born this lifetime, I had a hernia, which is like a cut up in the genital area.
Really?
And the priests that were the two priests that threw me in were my mother and father this lifetime, because if they took my life, they had to give me life.
Right.
So that was that story.
Amazing.
And then a few years later, I think about 3 years later, I had another light study, and John Roger told me about a lifetime. There were some people a family that I was very friendly with at that time, and at the beginning of the light study, Jerry would say, "Is there anybody you want to know about?" And so I said them, and he told me about this lifetime that I had in England around the Norman-Saxon invasion time, 1066. And I was a minstrel in that lifetime, and I was traveling around. And he says, you know, a lot of times people didn't like the minstrels because they would spread gossip. He said, but you didn't do that. He says, you just spread the good news. He says, and you met these people, this family that I knew in this lifetime. He said, you met them, and they were landed people. And he says, and you would go there, and you would spend months with them. And there was one girl, one of the daughters in this family, who I was kind of dating at that time. And he said, she was there in that time as a daughter. And he said, and you became very friendly, the two of you. And he says, you would go out riding together and stuff like that. He says, and ultimately, she got pregnant. He said, and you were good with that, and she was good with that, but her parents were not good with that.
Right.
And they told me I had to leave, and I said I would leave, but I wanted to take the baby, and they said no.
No.
So, he said, you've been looking for that baby ever since. And I said, and he looked, and he said, I mean, he kind of went off like he would do, and he said, And that baby is not on the planet at this time. And he said, so, you know, she's available, that soul is available for you to have. And he said,
really?
And he said, if you get married, and because I wasn't married at the time, and he says, and if you have a child, it could be that child. Well, some years later, I think 7 years later, actually, I did get married, and my wife got pregnant, and JR came to Florida, and he did a baby blessing on my daughter. And after the baby blessing, we were sitting around, and I said, on a light study 7 years ago, you said, you know, you told me about a child, and I said, is this that child? And he looked, and he said, no, I didn't even say that. I said, you did a light study, and you mentioned... And he said, that's the child.
Wow.
And he said, and he told me back 7 years ago, he said, when that child is born, he said, it'll be a new heaven on a new earth for you. And that was absolutely 100% true. When my daughter was born, I remember, my wife was not dilating, and the OBGYN said, "Listen, you got to go get a blood test." And she got a blood test, and when he got the results, he said, "You need to go to the hospital now." So we went to the hospital, and they did a C-section on her, and they had a pediatrician with the OBGYN, because the situation with my wife was that she was not sending nutrients into the womb, and the pediatrician told me that he's seen children, babies born, looking like they came out of a concentration camp, or even stillborn, because they were. So anyhow, when the pediatrician wheeled my daughter out of the operating room, he said, "You want to see her?" And I said, "Yeah." And I looked at her, and my heart opened up. I mean, it was like an amazing thing. But I looked at him and very seriously said, "She doesn't have any teeth." And he got, for a second, he got very concerned, and then he realized what I was saying. But anyway, so it's my daughter, our daughter has been, I mean, an incredible blessing in our life.
Arissa's an amazing woman.
She really is. She really is.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm biased, but people seem to think so.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, we came up with these, I do believe that he was seeing back into these past lives. How that works, it's a lot more complex, I think, than people really understand.
Right.
Because we have so many different levels, basic self, high self, and conscious self, you know, but that he could read about. But anyway, no, it's certainly life-changing.
Well, great story. We're going to take a short break now, and we'll be right back for the next segment.
Our sponsor today has been the Church of the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness. The purpose of the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, MSIA, is to teach soul transcendence, which is becoming aware of yourself as a soul and as one with God, not as a theory, but as a living reality. MSIA offers an approach to living that focuses on how to incorporate spirituality into your everyday life. We call it practical spirituality. You can reach MSIA by going into the web on www.msia.org or phoning area code 323-737-4055 and asking to be on the free mailing list. You can also go into your web and find out events, prayer lists, latest news, and any books and tapes available. God bless you. Another of today's sponsors is the Institute for Individual and World Peace, otherwise called IIWP, or IWIP, in Los Angeles at 2101 Wilshire. We have many workshops and seminars related to the subject of individual and world peace. I, Sally Kirkland, feel that at this time of war in the Middle East, that nothing is more important than all of us working on our individual peace so we can help world peace.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Hi there. If you're just tuning in, this is Sally Kirkland, and I have with me the wonderful Warren Bright. And that was just a wonderful story you told. Let's talk a little bit more about J.R., about John Rogers. moments that you remember with him that are learning moments, you know?
I'll tell you another story that happened. I'm involved in an advisory board with the MSI ministerial body, and at one time there was a fellow in France who was bisexual, and he fell in love with this other fellow, and the other guy was dealing drugs, and so the guy in MSIA, the MSIA minister, was living with this guy dealing drugs, wasn't using them, but he was there living with this guy, and the guy got busted, and because our guy was living in the house, he got busted too, and in France, it's like, it's not you're innocent until proven guilty, it's you're guilty until they decide otherwise. So they threw this guy in jail. And so we looked at that and said, you know what? We reluctantly, we had to go to this guy and say, we'd like you to resign your ministry while you're in jail until this all gets straightened out, because it's not really clear to have an MSIA minister in jail. We can't support that. So I had to write the letter to this guy, and I wrote a very sensitive and very loving and very supportive letter to this fellow, you know, asking him to do this resignation. And I ran it by John Roger, and he took my really super letter and made it so loving and so supportive, and he just transformed the whole thing into a really, really beautiful experience for this guy. And John Roger, I mean, I'm a good writer. I'm a really good writer when it came to stuff like that. I'm really good at that. But JR just took it to a whole nother level. And that, and it seems to me like that's what he did. You know, he used to talk, when he would share with people, when people would stand up in a room with, you know, 800 people, And kind of spill their guts about what they were going through. And J.R. would say, you know, he would give them this huge, usable, you know, practical advice on how to navigate the situation that they were in. And, you know, people say, how do you know that? And he said, because I've had so many lifetimes, I've been through so many experiences.
Right.
You know, that there's nothing that you could do
that I haven't already done.
And haven't worked through. And you know, I mean, when you go to counselors and people like that, it's one thing when they have a lot of knowledge and a lot of information about how to navigate life's experiences. And that can be really helpful, and that's great. But when you talk to somebody who's been through what you've been through, you not only get the information, but you get, on some level, you get their experience as well. And that can really be transformational. And that's, I think, what J.R. brought to the table when he would work with people. Is people would get not only the information and the advice, but they would get the strength and the power of knowing that they were talking with somebody who'd been through the experience, and that can be very encouraging.
Yeah. You know, well said.
Yeah.
It's true. I remember him saying that a lot over the years.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do or say or be that I haven't been through. And you believe it right away.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, the other thing is that one of the basic tenets in MSIA is forgiveness. And, you know, I mean, because walking around with guilt is really a paralyzing thing. And JR's focus on to have someone stand there and in the maturity and honesty of their statement, saying, I've done that too. And you can forgive yourself, because no, I'm not judging you. And I mean, that was astounding, because, I mean, people would let go of guilt and judgment, self-judgment, that they'd be carrying around for decades.
Right.
You know, and walk through, I mean, literally, it was like taking chains off your legs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember one time being in, I guess it was an insight seminar, and somehow I ended up on the floor with a kind of a cushioned, what do you call it? It's like a, not a sofa, but like a sofa chair without a back. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, like a bed, whatever, anyway, yeah.
And so I was kind of, my head was on the top of it, and I was sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. And Dale came over, and he got down on his knees and held me for 2 hours.
Wow.
It just blew my mind. I don't know what was being cleared, but, oh my God, he just stayed there. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
You know, how often do you meet someone who can do that with you?
Well, you know, the other thing is I believe, and I mean, you know, based on observation and experience over the years, J.R. didn't do much that wasn't guided by spirit, by some higher source of higher energy. And, you know, I mean, you would see him and like you said, like he held you for 2 hours. I mean, he held you for 2 hours because spirit told him to sit there and hold you for 2 hours. And he said, I will.
Right.
You know, that was the thing about J.R. is he consistently demonstrated sacrificing whatever was going on in his mind or emotions to spirit, to follow whatever the spirit led him to do.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and I know this probably sounds hokey to people, but when you have the experience and you can on some level really know that here's a guy that's really following something really higher. And I don't mean higher, you know, like psychic level higher.
Right.
But spiritually on some level really high. You know, how do I know that? Who knows? Other
right.
than sometimes you just know stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what I observed with him. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. We will continue this talk about JR after the break. And you're here with Sally Kirkland and Lance Wright.
Another one of our sponsors today has been Spiritual Warrior, The Art of Spiritual Living, a wonderful book written by John Roger, a New York Times number one best-selling author. This is put out by Manifold Press, and about the book, John Bradshaw says, Spiritual Warrior is a life-changing book. John Roger echoes my own intense desire to preserve spiritual focus in a world filled with distraction and anxiety. I welcome his crystal clear light on the pathway of self-discovery. I found the words of a wise, practical man in Spiritual Warrior. You can access this by going into www.spiritualwarrior.org or phoning 323-737-4055 and asking for the shipping department, or ask in your local bookstore. God bless you. Our sponsor today has been Peace Theological Seminary, a sister organization of the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness. P Case Theological Seminary offers classes on the web. If you call 323-737-4055 and ask for PTS, they can put you on a free mailing list and explain the various classes that are offered, including classes in forgiveness, abundance, service, and many other subjects. Please, please, please call 323-737-4055 and ask for Peace Theological Seminary and ask to be mailed all of the available information. God bless you. Our sponsor today has been the Church of the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness. The purpose of the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, MSIA, is to teach soul transcendence, which is becoming aware of yourself as a soul and as one with God, not as a theory, but as a living reality. MSIA offers an approach to living that focuses on how to incorporate spirituality into your everyday life. We call it practical spirituality. You can reach MSIA by going into the web on www.msia.org or phoning area code 323-737-4055 and asking to be on the free mailing list. You can also go into your web and find out events, prayer lists, latest news, and any books and tapes available. God bless you.
You're listening to CHSR, Real Radio, on the web.
Hi, Bob. Hi, there. This is Sally Copeland with Brian Bright. And we've been talking about our beloved teacher, John Roger, who is on the other side now. And I'm sure orchestrating a lot from there. I wanted to tell this, maybe I told it before, but I want to tell it again. Story about me and JR. I don't know what year this was. Let's see. He passed in 2014, right?
Right.
Okay. Let's say it was about 2010. I had a dream, that when I was trying to kill myself in 1966, Jesus came to JR, however those two worked it, and he said, you must bring Sally home, you know. And that was my dream. I wrote JR a letter, and I told him about the dream. And I said, you know, was that true? And he wrote back and said, yes. It was really touching to be the connection with Jesus and John Roger. I don't know. I like to think that he was like John the Beloved or somebody like that with Jesus in that lifetime. And to listen to him talk about Jesus Christ, you really believed he knew him. I think one of the things that brought me to John Roger was listening to a cassette tape with a member of MSIA and hearing him talk about Jesus. And I thought, he's not just talking about Jesus, he's talking about a close friend, you know? And
That's one thing that was phenomenal to me about John Rogers. Like, when he would talk about these spiritual things, it wasn't like he was talking about something he read about. He was taught, or heard about, or whatever. When he talked about that, you knew that he knew he was talking from his experience. There's a video. It's about a 7-8 minute video that I think you can find on YouTube, and it's called "Jesus, My Man for Eternity." And
oh, yeah,
JR talks. that is staggering, the way he talks about how the Christ works, how the Christ, and I'm talking about the Christ energy, as it expressed through Jesus, you know, and how the Christ energy works, in the cosmic scheme of things. But the way he talks about it, it's like, I watch that every once in a while, and it's like you see J.R. talking about these very subtle spiritual things as if he had just walked through that. I don't even know how to describe it. It validates to me that what J.R. says, and J.R. always used to say, check it out. Don't believe it just because I say it. Always check it out. So he would always come from that angle, not like he was trying to sell us anything. But when you look at something, at something like that particular talk, it was like, there's no question. This guy is the real deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes. He was so incredibly authentic. You know,
very authentic. That's a great word. That's a really good word. You know, and how he translated these concepts from a level that has no vocabulary into something that is graspable by us using our minds. I mean, it's amazing to me. I have no idea how he did that.
Right. Right. Amazing. Well, he was a genius. He really was a genius. A genius of spirit.
Please. Yeah. A genius of spirit. See, I mean, because he would say, he says, I'm not that intelligent, you know, I mean, and he says, I spirit chose me because I'm the least, you know, the least one that you would think. I'm not that smart, I'm this and that. And so he said, you know, spirit chose me to show you that if I could do it, you could certainly do it.
Right. Right. Yeah, he had an ordinariness about him that you couldn't help but engage in because he wasn't talking down to you ever.
Right. No, he was a real person. I mean, he came from what, Utah, right?
Right. Right. He was his family were Mormon, so. Or their family were Mormons.
His family was Mormon, I believe.
Yeah.
But his mother was into, in my understanding, and I mean, in this, I can't say this with any authority, but my understanding, his mother was into stuff like the Rosicrucians and things like that. So he had that broader perspective available to him.
Right.
And, yeah. I mean, and plus, which he was a feisty little kid, so from based on the stories he told and stories
right.
his brother told, so you know, I think he gave the Mormon bishops kind of a run for their money sometimes.
Right. Right.
But, you know, but J.R. never put anything down. Anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I was lucky. I met his family. Now I'm having a senior moment, but I have a memory of meeting his mother. Is that possible?
Yeah.
Is that possible, Alan? That I met his mother?
No, I don't think. Well, you might have, although I don't recall that she ever came out to California.
No. It was in Utah. But it would have been in the early 70s if my memory is right. And then I definitely I housed his niece. You remember her?
Yes.
And she stayed with me in West Hollywood. There's somebody here where I am who's screaming. I don't know if you can hear it, but don't be alarmed.
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, my God. Anyway, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back again with Lon Bite.
Our sponsor today has been the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness. I, Reverend Sally Kirkland, give introduction tape, video, and audio seminars with the teachings of John Roger and John Morton. I can be accessed by your going into www.sallykirkland.com and emailing me or calling 323-650-2215. Welcome, and please find us. Another one of our sponsors today is the book, The Tao of Spirit, by John Roger and Mandeville Press. I'm looking at a quote on one page of the book of Lao Tzu's that says, "Without going outside, you may know the whole world." And a quote of John Roger's, "Don't let yourself get confused when you have depressions, anxieties, and frustrations that you're sitting anywhere less than in the presence of the Lord." This is a book that may also be accessed via the web, www.msia.org, and then going into Mandeville Press and asking about the book, The Tao of Spirit, or calling 323-737-4055. Our sponsor today has been Peace Theological Seminary, a sister organization of the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness. Peace Theological Seminary offers classes on the web. If you call 323-737-4055 and ask for PTS, they can put you on a free mailing list and explain the various classes that are offered, including classes in forgiveness, abundance, service, and many other subjects. Please, please, please call 323-737-4055 and ask for Peace Theological Seminary and ask to be mailed all of the available information. God bless you. Insight Seminars. Do you have the life you've always wanted? Do you have love, joy, confidence, success, and happiness? Are you as effective in creating what you want as you would like to be? We have ongoing seminars in Southern California and worldwide. Please go into www.insight.org or call 310-315-9733. As a graduate and a former facilitator of Insight 4 for 18 years, I can only say, do yourselves a favor. Do it.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Hi there, this is Sally Kirkland and Lauren Bright. This is our last segment with you all today. I hope you're having a wonderful Monday. It's raining in L.A., or was raining, will be again. But it's a beautiful first day of the week because we get to spend it with you all listening. So, Lon, what would you like to talk about now?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, we probably shouldn't talk about what I want to talk about, but we can, let's see. We were talking about John Roger, which is something I haven't. I haven't done that very much in my life, period. So this is really kind of refreshing.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Well, so how did you get involved in the movement, Sally? What was your story?
Oh, you're turning the tables on me. Okay, let me think. 1972, I came to California to do the thing with Robert Redford and Paul Newman, and the way we were with Barbara Streisand. And as fate would have it, I met this guy. Oh, come on, Sally. You know him. Tall,
Rick
Edelstein. Tall, blonde. No, I brought Rick Edelstein a little bit. Chris, tall, blonde, good-looking, Christopher.
Okay.
So he and Bill Veria, do you know Bill Veria?
No.
No? He and a guy named Bill Veria, I ended up with Chris, and I said, you want to come meet Swami Satchidananda, my teacher? And he said, only if you'll come with me to meet Sean Rogers. And I said, who's that? And then Bill Verrier said, well, he's the avatar on the planet right now. And I said, well, how do you know that? You know, like, that's pretty lofty of you to say, you know. And he went on and on about Sean Rogers. And I said, well, I'd like to meet him, but please don't say that he's a better teacher than Swami Satchidananda. You know,
right.
I mean, this is my teacher. Anyway, so we did that. We took Chris and Bill to Swamiji, and then they took me to, I think it was Whittier.
Uh-huh.
Where John Roger was speaking. And, it was, not a large group. I don't know, maybe 30 people.
Mm-hmm.
And, I sit at the back of the room, and, then found myself on the floor. I didn't faint, but I kind of did, you know. I just,
mm-hmm.
The energy was so strong. And so I was on the floor, and I'm thinking, whoa, what is this? Who is this? Mm-hmm. And then I got up, and I'm never that social. So I waited in line to speak to him. And mm-hmm. I guess you weren't supposed to hug him, but I did, of course. And he hugged me, and I said, my first words to him were, I feel like I'm home. And my next words were, where do I find? And he said, you want to talk to Polly and Candy, who's standing over there, and get on home discourses. And he said, Sally, you're on LSD right now. And I said,
whoa.
No, I'm not. He said, yes, you are. And of course I was. Maybe from the day before, but it was definitely in my auric field. And, and he said, you're going to have to choose, you know, between me and the drugs. And I felt so embarrassed and so busted. And I just kind of was in shock. But I did everything he said. I went to Polly and Candy. I signed up for Aura Balance 1, 2, 3, Polarity Balance, Interphasing, which was a 30-day procedure. And I was just extremely gleeful to be home, to be in this energy. And then somehow I ended up living with Polly and Candy at Prana, they were both virgins, and I, of course, was a sex addict, and so I spent most of my time trying to get them de-virginized, if you can believe it. And but anyway, we had a great old time. And at one point, I ended up in a mental hospital, and Polly came and somehow had me escape with her. Polly was, I guess, there. I told Polly, you know, take care of this person, Sally, because I had all this hands-on from Polly and Candy. And then once I got my balances and everything, I was on the discourses, which you do for 2 years, and then you're eligible to be initiated into what they call the sound current, and ordained a minister of light. So that was really, really exciting to me. Oh, I was so excited. I could barely wait for 2 years, but I had to do 3 years because my first year I was still doing marijuana. And I remember bringing Lee Taylor Young into the movement, and she got initiated probably a year before I did, because she wasn't, like, doing marijuana. And I was so frustrated that my friends were getting initiated, and I had to wait. He made me wait a year to get it all out of my auric field. And,
well, out of your body, too.
Out of my body, yeah. And I guess that was 1973. I got married in 75 to a man named Michael Jarrett, who was stoned all the time. I don't know how I lived with him because I was trying to be faithful to JR. But he was a brilliant musician. I don't want to put him down entirely. He wrote songs for Elvis Presley, etc. Anyway, so I got cleaned up, and then Jeannie Ford had found me. She's, for those of you who've never heard me talk about her, was sort of the matron of MSIA, an older woman who created the ministerial body. She created the idea of a minister of light in MSIA and created a ministerial board, and somehow she got me on the board right away in 1975, I think it was. And so by then I was very clean. And she was watching over me. I love her. So it's been since 73, what are we now? We're 24. So it's been 51 years?
Yep.
1 minute. And I'm so grateful. So we're going to take our last break. It's going to be the end of the show. And I'm so happy you came, Lauren, today. And I hope you'll do it again soon.
Sure. My pleasure, Sally. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. And everybody have a wonderful Monday.